And the rest of us we've been talking about relationships, and we've talked about communication, which is obviously important in regards to relationships. We've talked about what godly relationships look like and the purposing in the heart and so on. What we are looking at specifically this morning is in regards to the specific types of friendships, or excuse me, relationships. And the first one we're going to talk about is friendship. We've got relationships that we know about, brothers and sisters in Christ, spouses, parent, child, and the world. And one of the areas that is very key is friendships. This is kind of, if you will, sometimes the basis of what a lot of people look at. And the Lord has certain things that He wants us to understand about friendships. And what we're going to look at this morning is kind of, if you will, introducing what these friendships should look like so that they do please and honor God the way they're supposed to. I'm sure some of us in here can relate, if not all of us. We know there are good friends and there are bad friends. We know that there are those that, have an effect on us in a way that is beneficial and building up according to Scripture. And we know that there are those that they're just blood-sucking, life-sucking parasites. And, they suck the life out of you. And, we've got to understand there are situations where, you know, we do work with individuals that are struggling with certain things and so on and so forth. And I'm not talking about situations where you're involved in a counseling or trying to help somebody or, you know, get them to work through. No, I'm just talking about individuals that truly every time you get around them, it seems like they're just sucking the Holy Spirit right out of you. They bring out the worst in us. And, there's a phrase that I often use I didn't coin it. Somehow, some way found it. It kind of shows up sometimes in some of the counseling stuff that I always look at. Don't complain about somebody sucking the life out of you if you give them the straw. That makes sense. We have to understand that there's a right way and a wrong way to have relationships. And there's a right way and a wrong way to use them in a way that has an effect on us and what we do. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll get started this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time and opportunity to discuss the relationships that You have put us in, and specifically those of friendships. Lord, I pray that we would just understand the principle that we're learning this morning in regards to it, that, Lord, You would just give us a clear understanding of Your Scriptures, Your Word, that we would take these things, use them to glorify You in every area of our life. I thank You again, Lord, for Your Word You've given us to guide us, Your Holy Spirit to direct us, that all of us can come here today to worship You through learning and through understanding. And, Lord, I just pray that all of this pleases You. And this I ask in Your Son's precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we take a look at friendships, we find it throughout Scripture. There is so much that is involved with friendships in Scripture. We see, obviously, Abraham was described as a friend of God forever. We find that, there's individuals such as David and Jonathan that had a very, close, enduring friendship. We find others in Scripture that had the wrong type of friendships and wrong types of associations, such as, say, Rehoboam and those princes that gave him the wrong counsel. Some of the stuff that we... is that me or is that you? Oh, there we go. It went blank there for a moment. I wasn't sure whether it was my tablet here or not, but it seems to be having some issues. Do I need to do something? All right. Well, anyways, so we see that there's other friendships throughout Scripture. We find that Jesus Christ talks about what a friend of God looks like in, over the book of John. And we want to make sure that we, understand those principles. But it's throughout Scripture we see this theme of friendship. And again, it is one of the basic, relationships that the Lord has created. We have to understand that the Lord is the one that creates these relationships. He's the one that created the relationship between husband and wife in the Garden of Eden. We understand that he is the one that had purpose and intent to create the relationship of parent and child with, you know, offspring. We find that there's relationships with friendships that grow throughout Scripture, and these are all things that the Lord has created. And when the Lord creates something, he intends us to use it correctly. Just like we talk about with him when it comes to emotions. God gave us emotions for a reason. We need to use them in a biblical, godly, Christ-like manner. When we take a look at friendships, the same thing needs to be true in regards to that. We have to take a look at what is it that we are doing in the friendship, and what type of a friendships do we have in this life? And again, he has a specific purpose with this type of relationship, what it's supposed to do. And you know, just like with all the rest of them, there's a purpose behind it. God doesn't create things in vain. God has created things for a purpose. Now, we know that that general purpose is that everything is to please him. But we need to look at how we have that friendship in a way that it will please him. And there are certain expectations that the Lord has in regards to this. And again, we understand that God did not make us to just be alone in this world. If God just wanted us isolated, he would have made a whole bunch of little islands on this world, and we would have just been like, boop, boop, everybody's got their own little island. But he didn't make it that way. And we find from the very beginning that the way that the Lord begins to, have groups of individuals together, he has them associated with tribes and tongues and nations and things of that, and kindred. They're all the things combined together about how, and each one of those groups has different, relationship nuances about them, but all of them are going to involve some sort of friendship. And he didn't make for us to just be alone and just to be isolated and hang out in some little shack somewhere in Montana and, you know, plot the destruction of the world. That's not how what God has intended us to be. He's intended us to be with groups of people. And if we are saved, born again, child of God, he has put us in the body of Christ, and he intends us and has purpose about what we are to do in the body. God has an expectation of us as believers about how we are going to conduct ourselves in these friendships. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, in verse 6, it says, "If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy brother, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people." Aye. Let's put it this way. Those verses right there should kind of give us an understanding of how God expects relationships to work. Now, obviously, we're focusing on friendship here, and what I want to introduce in this specific lesson is this first element of understanding what a godly friendship is going to look like is this principle of what is influencing us, what affects us. Because here's the issue. if we have the wrong type of influence, just like this individual here, regardless of whatever relationship it is, but let's go ahead and take this friend here that, as he mentions very specifically, which is as thine own soul, meaning somebody that is a very close friend, if they come alongside you and they specifically are trying to lead you away from the Lord, lead you away to some other heresy, false doctrine, whatever it is, false God, if they're trying to do something that is going to sever that connection between you and God, that relationship's got to end. Now, obviously, we're not under the law, and we're not going out there and doing this. That's not our, if you will, our mandate at this point. This was for the nation of Israel, and we understand that law and understand that principle of what was going on. But there is an application to us. And what that application is that there are times when you need to say, you know what? This friendship is not good for me. This friendship has the wrong influence. This friendship is pulling me away from my Savior, from my God. And we have to be very discerning. We have to be very circumspect to understand when this type of action starts happening in our life. You ever having somebody give you bad advice? Whether you took it or not, somebody's giving you bad advice. I guarantee you, each one of us has had somebody give, some really bad advice. I've had people give me bad advice, about career paths. I've had people give me bad advice about all sorts of other things. One time when I was working for a larger regional pharmacy chain, the chain was bought out by a larger national one, and we were all being laid off at the corporate office, and they brought in these consultants to kind of, if you will, help us through it, deal with it. And it was mandated we had to go through these classes. I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay. For me, it was totally fine. I was like, okay, this isn't the end of the world. I'm not going to go into deep, dark depression because I'm getting laid off from my job. I'm just going to go find another one and just, keep moving. Well, they sat down and they brought us all in and they started asking us, maybe this is time for you to seek, another career path of what to do. And I'm sitting there and listening to all of this. And through the course of it, people were talking about, I like doing this and I like doing that, and here's my hobby, and this consultant's kind of giving some ideas and so on and so forth. It comes to me in my turn, and I'm just like, oh, what am I gonna say? And I'm just like, I don't know, because I kind of had some ideas of what I was gonna do, and some of that was just really bad in my own mind, what I was doing, the direction I was heading. But I didn't want to tell anybody what I was thinking, so I just kind of, I forget exactly what it was I said, and the consultant just kind of stepped back from the table and looked at me. And I'm like, what's going on here? And there's a group of other people around, and she said, I want everybody to listen to his voice. And she said, say that again. And again, I can't even remember what I said, but I just, some pithy little comment, if you will. And she just looks at me and she goes, have you ever considered a career in radio? I'm like, what? She's like, you've got a radio voice. She's like, I can see you at some late night radio show. And I'm like, oh no. For me, that was bad advice. I'm like, I'm not going to go on radio and do that. I'm like, I'm not going to be a radio personality or whatever it is. And, I was just like, what is that? It was influence, right? We have to be discerning to look at that and say, okay, is that something that, I want to do? Is that some career path that I want to take? Is this the direction I want to go? And specifically when we're talking about our Christian walk, we have to ask, where are you leading me? Am I allowing myself to be led somewhere else? Dan and I were just talking about shepherding right before service, about what shepherds people's lives. You know, you can actually have a friend be your shepherd, and not in a good way. We have to understand exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And again, the people with whom we are friends are critical to our Christian walk. What are they doing to edify us? What path and direction are they leading us? What thoughts are they planting inside our mind? We've got to analyze all of that. And I dare say that a lot of times, you know, Christians, we just kind of, and look, I did it too, and sometimes I still do it. I just kind of go into the Christian autopilot mode, and I figure, well, Jesus has got the wheel, amen? And it was just, I'm along for the ride, and I don't have to do anything. Until he says, I want you to take the yoke, or I want you to take the wheel. And then we're like, what? What do you mean? Steer what? What do you, no, what? We have to understand what God is teaching us and what God is showing us to do. And clearly, if somebody is giving us the wrong influence, we have to be aware of it. And allowing friendships with people who are not of the same mind in Christ, that's a typo up there, we're not of the same mind in Christ, they're dangerous to us. That's dangerous. Why is that dangerous? Have you ever read the entire book of Deuteronomy and realized what God said if they went that direction towards other gods? Do you think that was going to be a pleasant experience? And it certainly wasn't. When God said, okay, now's the judgment coming, and we get all of the judgment through the book of Judges, and then we wind up going through all the stuff with the kings, and then we wind up into bondage, and then we wind up to where they are today, they're still following other gods. And that God that they follow is not the Lord, even though they claim it to be. That God that they're following is themselves. It is a sense of nationalism that has become idolatry with the nation of Israel. I dare say sometimes we as Americans do the same thing. Look, we don't worship our nation. We worship Jesus. We don't worship who's in office. We worship Jesus. We don't worship who's in the governor's house or mansion. We worship Jesus. Keeping my commentary to a dull roar on that one. You know, there's a certain, you know, understanding about what it is that is going to be ungodly when it comes to these idols and comes to these false gods. This understanding involves a critical analysis of our, you know, Christian life on a day-to-day and hour-by-hour basis, looking at, okay, what God am I following here? What I'm doing right now, what God am I following? Am I following my own God? Am I following somebody else's God? Or am I following Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Turn over to the book of Psalms. This is obviously a very, very, very familiar passage. Most of us probably have had it memorized. If you've been in church for a little bit, you know that this is a very, very common passage. It's often, you know, introduced to children. We've talked about it in our basic program. You know, when we were going through the book of, partly of the book of Psalms last year, this was obviously the very first psalm that we go through. We even had a little challenge coin, made up about some of this right here in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, if you notice there is a influence with those three individuals that he mentions in verse 1. There's walking in the counsel of the ungodly, there's standing in the way of sinners, and then there's a sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I'll tell you this, one of the things that we understand about all of that is if you go over to the book of Ephesians, you find these exact same three positions in Jesus Christ. Walk, sit, and stand. Because he talks about our Christian walk in the book of Ephesians. He talks about we're seated with him in heavenly places. And then he talks about standing in the armor, with the armor of God. Well, the same thing we see here in Psalms, the same principle goes, but here we see that there's a progression from this, if you will, seated position, or excuse me, walking position to a seated position. In Ephesians, it's the opposite. We start off with the sitting, we then go to the walking, and then we go to the standing type situation. But what we find here is we find that this individual, they're walking along, and then they stop the forward progression, and then pretty soon they're resting in something they shouldn't be resting in. But notice the mindset. It's ungodliness that goes into sin. And that sin leads to a scornful heart attitude. A scorner is somebody that completely disregards and, if you will, scoffs at God and His Word. And it may not be just the open mocking of it. It may just be in our heart of, I'm not doing that. Notice that little at the part, the front part of it. When God says, I want you to do this, and we do the heavy sigh. Or we do the exasperated look. Or we do the rolling of the eyes. You know, when you're raising children and that happens with your children, what do you typically do? You're like, no. Uh-uh. That's not happening. Yes, the child does say, would you please go clean your room? And the child goes, no. You're like, oh, really? yeah, you're sitting there going, we're gonna have a little talk. It's gonna involve certain, you know, elements that you may not enjoy. But you notice that there's an influence that's there. And this is truly often what happens is when we let a little bit of ungodliness come into our Christian walk, it gets to the point of where we just start letting some sin in, and then we just get to a point in an attitude where we're not doing anything for God. But that's, if you will, a relationship. That's the danger of influence and friendships that are ungodly. That's what it can lead to. And it's the man that is blessed when he does not do those things, but instead chooses to walk in the commandments and scripture God has given us. That's where the blessings start coming in. Now again, I'm not talking prosperity here. I'm not preaching Kenneth Copeland stuff, okay? I'm talking about blessings that the Lord gives to us on a day-to-day basis. Peace. Joy. Things like that. The wrong influence will rob you of that. The wrong influence will lead you into a path that is destructive. Because in verse 4, he mentions that the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with which the wind driveth away. It says in verse 6 that the ungodly will perish. It's completely the opposite of peace and joy and rest in Christ. It's something totally different. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Verse 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul? The Lord's saying, if you are involved with a person, and specifically in a friendship, as he's referencing here, with somebody that is just angry all the time, that is going to have an effect on you. And let's be clear, you are allowing it. You are allowing it. Just like I was talking about, you know, the whole issue of, you know, don't complain about somebody sucking the life out of you if you give them the straw. Don't complain about your life if your friends are people that are robbing you and taking away the joy and the happiness that's in Christ. I think we probably are all fully well aware of the individual that is just the angry man. I've met a lot of them in my life. Some of the crowds that I hung around with when I was younger, there was a lot of angry guys. They were angry at life, they were angry at the government, they were angry at people, they were just angry. And somebody that cannot use anger appropriately is going to be a snare in your life. And that snare is going to catch you, and it's going to bring you to the one that will devour. And your life will be hollow. If you've got a friend that all they talk about is violence, that's going to affect you. If you have somebody that all they do is talk about killing people, that's going to affect you. You'll get to a point of where you no longer value human life. You'll get to a point of where you begin to actually think that maybe somehow, some way, you're God's deliverer of people here on this earth. And look, I just want to be clear. The world wants you to go that direction. You know, say what you will, but understand that there is some influence with the stuff that you read and the stuff that you view. When you think about it for just a moment, and you think about individuals that have suffered some loss or gone through something or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden they start trying to think that that it's their job to take up a crusade to fight evil, to fight crime. You see where I'm going with that? We get these individuals today that almost think that they are superheroes. They become vigilantes. And I've often said this. There comes a point in time in this nation and in this world where people are going to get so sick of the crime and so sick of things that I would not be surprised if all of a sudden we start seeing people running around in hoods and masks and things of that nature executing justice. Now look, I understand there's groups around. There's one in Portland and there's several up in Seattle. They dress up in costumes and walk around and try to help people and things like that and try to be, if you will, the good-natured superhero. They conceal their identity so nobody knows. They report crime. They're kind of like a neighbors on watch group in costumes. Ridiculous ones at that. And there's a very short step to the next level. And we've already seen some of that happen. But I'll say this, you know, again, the mindset behind all of that is misplaced anger. Wrongly used anger. We have to be careful. If this friendship that you have is with somebody that is of that nature, and I'm using a very extreme form for us to sit there and think about it and go, well, yeah, I would never get to that point. But if we allow somebody to just be angry with, you know, whatever it is all the time and influence us in that way, we're going to be the same person. We're going to have the same responses. We're going to have the same thought processes. We're going to think the same way. If you hang around people that all they want to do is talk Bible, it's going to be different. If you want to hang around people that are going to edify you, that's going to be different. But somebody that is just the angry man, that has that angry spirit, that can't seem to understand how to use it correctly, the end result is that you are going to mirror that. And that does not please God. Because again, God wants you to use what He's given you for His purpose, for His glory, for His pleasure. And being angry all the time is not what we are called to be as Christians. Again, you know, I've seen this happen before. In the previous 4 years, there was a lot of people, there was a lot of Christians that were just angry. And they were screaming and they were yelling in this country. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, things are going to get better. Who knows? I don't know. I know this, that you know, following after a man isn't going to lead us anywhere. We need to get back to the Bible. And that's what we need to do. And whether that's going to happen or not, and there's going to be a revival in this country, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, in the state of Washington, if you're living in the state of Washington, you're like, I think we're completely isolated from the rest of the nation. Because we just seem to have more and more and more and more of that. And I know a lot of Washingtonians that are saved Christians that are struggling, and they're just angry. But I'll tell you this, if you're focused on the anger, you never have time to focus on Christ and what He did. Anger, and misusing it, is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Leads you down very dark paths. And He says here very clearly that it's going to be a snare to your soul. It will not help you. It will hinder you. It will cause you to be pulled back and not run the race that God has called you to run. You will not walk in the Spirit because you will be snared by your flesh because of the influence that you allow. So what does God say? He says, make no friendship with an angry man. Don't try to buddy up with him. You see that relationship? Kind of like Deuteronomy 13. You don't engage. You don't engage in that. Go over to James chapter 4. Again, a very familiar passage. And this is important for us to lay these principles down from the very get-go as kind of, if you will, some don'ts, so that we understand that there's an influence that is going to be evil that we need to combat. We need to step back and analyze what association and what type of relationship we have with these people. And in James chapter 4 and in verse 4, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? Now, here in the United States of America, we like to think we've got one of the greatest militaries on the face of the earth. Yeah. We got a lot of good technology. not always the best because, again, we haven't necessarily invested in it the right way. I'll keep my commentary dull roar on that one too. But you know, you take a look at some other places that have got some great militaries and things of that nature, and you realize there's certain nations you don't want to pick a fight with. I mean, if you were a small little nation, you didn't have a lot of resources, you decided to pick a fight with one that has greater resources and bigger, if you will, army and military and might, you're looking for a good pounding, is what you're looking for. In the 1980s, how many of you remember when Argentina all of a sudden said, you know what, we want the Falkland Islands? And they said, we're going to go ahead and take them. And they walked in with their little army and their little navy and with their little paltry little air force that they had. And they said, these are now ours. And they thought the United Kingdom would just kind of roll over and play diplomacy and so on and so forth. But old Margaret Thatcher said, nope. She was a bit of a hard nose, all right? And what did she do? She sent the navy and everyone else down there and kicked them off the island pretty quick. Pretty quick. Remember Desert Storm? Here they are. Iraq decides they're going to go ahead and be the bully over there and walk in and go ahead and take over Kuwait. And the rest of the world was like, nope. So you had some of the largest militaries around, the U.S., Britain, France, they all went over there and said no. And within 100 days, the Iraqi army was left in shambles. They picked the fight with the wrong person. Now, why do I say that? Because sometimes when people ally themselves with the world and they make a friendship with the things of the world, they become an enemy of God. And let's just be clear. God is greater than anything you ever have. God is far more powerful, far more intelligent, far more capable of anything that we're ever capable of doing. So the enemy of God is not going to fare well. And this book tells us exactly what happens to the enemies of God. And nobody wants to be that. We should desire a friendship with God. We should desire a friendship that is, if you will, constructive. On Wednesday nights, we're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ, and we're talking about the construction element that is there in the illustrative verses that we find in Scripture about, if you will, a building project. Being an enemy of God is exactly the opposite. It destroys things. When war happens and war occurs, there's places that are just leveled. There's more recent things, but one of the ones that I'm more familiar with is, you know, as I've said time and time again, it used to be that Beirut was kind of, if you will, a little bit of a tourist destination over there in the Middle East. And there was beautiful architecture, there was beautiful culture, there was a lot of things over there that people enjoyed going over there and engaging in, and you know, for vacation or whatever. And then all of a sudden war breaks out and you've got Syria and Israel and Druze and Hamas and the PLO and everyone else fighting, and they're all fighting amongst themselves and fighting other people. And then we get involved and we start shelling them and so on and so forth. It just gets bad. And you know what? Lebanon has never recovered from that. The place is just a wreck. Nowadays, you can use that example of what's going on over in Syria, how there's whole cities just leveled, gone. They're just ruins. Same with stuff that's going over on over in Ukraine. There's just places that are just destroyed. And those are some of the more prominent ones that we're aware of. And there's wars going around all over this world right now that many of us don't even understand or even know about. And they've just left just destruction in their path. And a friendship with the world and a friendship with worldly things, a friendship with somebody that is whispering in our ear, hey, you don't need to follow God. Hey, you need to follow your heart. Amen. You need to follow what you want in life. You need to follow things that are going to benefit you. We become an enemy with God. The concept that we're looking at here with friendship is we have to analyze what is being said in the relationship. What is being said with the thoughts? What is being said with the mouth? What is being said with the actions? And we need to sit back and truly, and this is why it's important to know what this book says. To say, that's not godly. And I will tell you this, if you are entering into a relationship with somebody or you're in a relationship with somebody right now and you see a couple of red flags, listen to them. Listen to them. The instrument cluster on your dashboard for your vehicle has a whole thing of lights that show. And if you get a little red one that looks like some sort of little genie lamp, that's telling you your engine needs oil. Something's wrong with your engine. You get something that pops up, says check engine light. You got a problem. You get something that pops up with these little brackets and says ABS. It's talking about you've got a brake problem. You need to address it. Something pops up and says SRS, and it's got this little guy that's being held into a, you know, seat with a seatbelt and a little airbag going off in his face. It's telling you, if you're going to get into a wreck, you're probably going to die. Something's wrong. What do? You take it to the mechanic and get it fixed, hopefully. Or get a new car, depending on how many of those lights light up. But the idea is you get it fixed. Well, the same thing is true when we take a look at relationships. If there's something there and these warning lights are coming up and there's warnings all over the place, that is the Holy Spirit showing you need to address something in your life. What kind of influence? Now, next week, we'll talk a little bit more about some godly influence. We'll talk a little bit more about purpose of the friendships throughout this. But the idea is we need to make sure they're godly. So the first check that we do is we say, okay, is there anything ungodly? Is there anything that is going against God? What influence does this friendship have in my life? And if it does, we need to do something about it. Don't just let it go and hope it gets better. We address it accordingly. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. I thank you again for an opportunity to just be in your word and to look at the subject of friendships. And Lord, these verses, while they may have been very familiar to us, they are very important and practical in our Christian life. Lord, may we strive to be very discerning in our friendships and what those look like. And Lord, may we seek to have friendships that truly have the influence of Christ, that truly have the influence of the Holy Spirit, of you in us. I thank you again, Lord, for the time that we've had, and I pray, Lord, you just continue to meet with us in the 11 o'clock hour. All of this I ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.